If you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when they lie to all of us, it's called being a politician. You think taking guns away will save our kids from the killings? But you're pro-choice, abortion kills way more children. If America's so terrible and racist, it probably isn't safe to encourage immigration. Just saying, all the contradictions are embarrassing. You know who hates America the most? Americans. But we are all the same, we are red, white, and blue. Ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Cause honestly, we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no, the forecast said that there'd be snowflakes. Whoa.
And it is that time once again. Wide right turn coming your way with Tom Kelly. Jailbird Joey gonna be helping out and chiming in when it's appropriate. But we haven't done this for a little while. Had that convention last week down in Cheyenne. So it's good to be back behind the board with my good friend Tom Kelly. Tom, what do you got going on with you lately, bud?
Well, let's recap really quickly what happened down in Cheyenne recently. I was listening to the morning show with you and David, and you guys said you were recovering from it. And wow, it was quite the show, wasn't it? I can see David's still a little bit scuffed up by some of the comments and articles and things he saw coming out of that. But my takeaway as a delegate there was that it felt like the revenge of the Freedom Caucus. Like, we had the Wyoming caucus, we had the state liberals in charge of the government in Cheyenne, and it was clearly the conservatives in charge of the statewide convention down in Cheyenne. Down to the point where that rule of having 75 seconds versus 25, as Scott Clement asked for, it really seemed to stifle things. I mean, we're all worried about trying to finish things on time. We were done, what, an hour early? They're just kind of filling time in at the end?
Yeah, with a lot of breaks in place for things like ballot counting and checking and making sure certain rules were applicable, we actually spent more time on the floor not doing business than, I would say, openly debating business. I understand the standard floor rule for a large society convention like that, large member meeting is what they call it. But I don't know. I stepped up. I kind of supported Scott Clem's angle of, we may have done a lot of work over the last couple of years in dealing with things within the party that have turned into resolutions and bylaws. And we did a hell of a lot of work over the last 2 days in the committees. But the delegates, the standard, you know, representatives of their counties, sometimes this was the first time they were seeing that work whatsoever. So I will agree with you. It is a little disheartening when you get there and the rules are set to say, hey, we just need to get through the work. But we've also had problems in the past where we don't get through the first chunk of work, so we never get to the end, and we'll have to find a balance in there. I'm not going to complain about those floor rules too much. Again, like I said, I understand they're pretty standard. But that needed to be offset by the state party leadership, making sure that every delegate was informed about all of the potential work that could be coming before them. The rules say everything has to be submitted from the counties 30 days before the convention, state convention, coming out of the county conventions. There's no reason they can't do a massive data dump and say, here is every bylaw proposal, here is every platform change proposal, here is every resolution that we may be talking about before they go into committee, you know, get up to date with the information. And then it's, the onus is on the delegate themselves. But the real problem was no one had seen those floor rules as a suggestion before the day of the convention. And a lot of the delegates had not seen any of the work that we were, I guess, passing or failing, not really discussing at the convention. So I could see where there's a little bit of a stick in some people's craw over that.
Oh, absolutely. And as somebody who studies political science for a living and teaches it, the words rubber stamp come to mind when you have 90 resolutions come out and no one has time to read what they are that had come out of the committee. And we're just going to put them on a consent agenda. And we're going to set this really high bar to pull stuff and talk about it. Basically, everything is going to go through. There were some points where when we were doing our standing votes to pass things through, I didn't bother sitting down. I figured we'd been sitting long enough. I just stood up for like four straight votes because I'm like, these are all going through anyway. I might as well stretch my legs. But it felt pretty inconsequential for me. Like, there was really no need for me to be there. the committee meetings where stuff actually happened, and the main delegation, that was just a moment to just put the rubber stamp on everything. But you know, that's politics, and I'm not much of a politician. I'm more of somebody who focuses on principles and philosophies and policies, not so much the politics of it all. And I know some people that just really love Robert's rules and arguing the point of order and arguing the process of what's going to happen, and basically coming down that they're arguing, no, you if you're going to put a cup and a half of flour into the recipe, you can't use a cup and a half cup. You have to use 3 half cups to get it done correctly. And we spend a half an hour on something like that, and my eyes start to roll back in my head. I'm just not built for that. But something, I am getting onto a point here, something of consequence did come out of this convention for me. When I was in my hotel room, I decided that Facebook had just become an anchor in my life. So I just deleted my whole flipping account, everything with it, and just broke all contacts with it. And I'd been thinking about that for a while. I know some people like to use it to communicate, to promote their endeavors. I was so badly throttled on the platform as it was that I was constantly getting restrictions for posts from like 3 years ago. I'd get 30-day restrictions for posts. They wouldn't even tell me what it was. They'd just say, we took it down and you can't do this and you can't do that. And then I find myself like in a crab fest with Senator Driscoll, and it just becomes a headache. I'm like, what am I doing with my time? And I have to thank Ogden Driscoll for that, because he's the man that got me to sit back and go, what am I doing with my time? When I saw that picture of him sitting on the phone, crabbing back and forth with me and David, when he's supposed to be paying attention to a meeting, I thought to myself, is that what I've turned into? Am I missing life because I'm on here with Driscoll going back and forth? And it was a yes. So boom, I just got rid of all of it. Anyone who's really a friend is already in my phone book anyway. And it was no big deal at all. But there was, as I've said before on Wide Right Turn, a practical significance to what I did on Facebook. That was primarily that I am a university instructor, that I am a university department head, and I coach other professors on how to teach. And the foundation of teaching and education for me is to explain and have students apply principles and theories, and they don't need my personal opinions. My personal opinions on politics are completely irrelevant to teach political science. I know I'm in the 1% or less of people who actually believe teaching political science means teach the concepts, not my personal politics. But Facebook was useful for me to just kind of regurgitate what I was feeling about stuff so I can clear my head. Well, I don't have that now, and I still have to teach. So we still have Wide Right Turn, Joey, thanks to you. And here's an opportunity for me to vomit out all those political ideas, except that I've noticed the Independence Network, rightfully so, is heavily centered on the state of Wyoming. That's our home. That's where the action is. Those are where the policies who affect our day-to-day life the most actually happen, or at the state and local level. But quite often we have issues on our mind, or I have issues on my mind, that are more of a national or international level. So I'm thinking about, since the Independence Network is already heavily focused on Wyoming, not that we would never talk about that, and we were just talking about the Wyoming convention, that we take a wider right turn into some national issues and sometimes some bigger principles on the international level. And so that's where I was thinking of going. What do you think of that?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you to the first episode of World Right Turn with Tom Kelly here on the Independence Network. I think it's great. That's one of the things, you know, the Independence Network has only been around a little more than 6 months, and we're building and we're branching out, and you stick with what you know to build your foundation. So you're right. We've been very Wyoming focused. In fact, I am almost exclusively Wyoming focused and going backward into a segment that I do regularly called Rural Wyoming Matters. So even community focused. David's definitely Wyoming focused, and he does some national stuff, but we don't get into the international or national as often. And we may see that more in the future, but if, hey, that's where you want to go tonight, you know, I'm the supplier, you're the driver, I'm more than happy to do it. And if it turns into a regular thing, I think it would be a great complement to the rest of the things we do here on the Independence Network, based on I wouldn't say our limited focus, but our comfort zone that we need to start taking maybe baby steps out of and get into bigger worldly issues. So go ahead and fire away with what you got, Tom.
I just want to comment on what you're saying. The Independence Network has not had so much of a limited focus. It's a concentrated focus. You go into granular detail about stuff that you won't get from Fox News, stuff you won't get from Newsmax, stuff you definitely won't get from traditional Wyoming sources. And that's a lot of ground to cover. All the events going on just in Wyoming that you and David and Ken are all trying to take on, just the three of you covering that, that's barely enough. But I'm also somebody who looks at the other things too. So what I'm going to do is a really wide focus. We're going to look kind of globally here. And I'm ultimately going to be bringing it back to Wyoming to show you that all of this stuff, these are principles. These are human nature principles. And throughout history, before the existence of the United States or Wyoming even. So I wanted to start with this. It's called the Hate Crime and Public Order Act of 2021. It's from Scotland. It was passed by the Scottish Parliament and it wasn't implemented until April 1st of this year. I don't know if there was some tongue-in-cheek joke about it being April Fool's Day, but that was it. It went into effect. And the Scottish website, its word says, it will provide greater protections for those who are targeted by hate crime. It introduces new offenses for, quote, stirring up hatred, which criminalizes threatening or abusive behavior and the communication of threatening or abusive material, which is intended to stir up hatred against a group of people. Think about that. Not incite violence. It is illegal in Scotland to stir up hatred. It continues with some typical Orwellian gaslighting. The act does not pose a risk to freedom of speech. It does not prevent people expressing controversial, challenging, or even offensive views. Nor does it seek to stifle criticism or rigorous debate in any way. The right to freedom of expression is specifically built into the act. It's an outright joke. They go on to say they've got the list of racial and gender identity and religion. And I think they added age to it now, too, that if you make jokes about old farts, that's inciting hatred. I mean, we've got the author of the Harry Potter series has come up in international news. Is she going to be arrested because she says radical things like only women should be allowed in the women's bathroom? Well, this is Scotland. This is a so-called liberal democracy. This is considered one of the free countries in the world. Criminalizing wrongthink. And it's gone into effect this year. And I'm looking here at other so-called democracies, and I don't want to get into that right now. People who know me know that I understand the America is a constitutional republic. Thank God it's not a democracy. It was constructed intentionally to avoid being a democracy for a multitude of reasons. We'll go down that rabbit hole some other night. But another so-called free democracy, the other side of the world, we got Australia, considered one of the freest countries in the world. Their high court ordered that Elon Musk take down footage of a stabbing that happened recently in Australia. It turned out to be a terrorist attack, actually a 16-year-old. We'll keep religion out of this for the moment, but a 16-year-old of one religion stabbed to death a bishop of another religion. You could probably fill in the blank yourself and know what happened. But Musk had already blocked the post in Australia at their request. They didn't want it there. He doesn't, it's a business. He doesn't want X blocked completely in Australia. So he says, okay, we'll block those posts in Australia, which wasn't enough, apparently. They said, no, it's not enough to block this in Australia because we have things like VPNs. People could just switch their VPN to another country and bam, they could see it anyway at that point. So they demanded, the country of Australia, that Elon Musk, who lives in the United States and is originally from South Africa himself, edit and censor his own platform that he personally bought for himself. And of course, he laughed about it. He went on to X and he's just like, apparently the Prime Minister of Australia thinks he's the governor of the world. Well, this is the mind frame of Australia. One of their senators was on TV and she was dead serious. And I don't have her name at the point. I just have the quote. But I watched it with astoundment that a senator of a so-called freed liberal democracy said, talking of Elon Musk, somebody like that should be thrown in jail and the key be thrown away. That bloke should not have the right to be out there on his own ideology platform, creating hatred. And there it is, the word again, hatred. Hatred should be illegal at this point. Hate speech should be illegal. Hate speech is a crime. And we're not inciting violence. We're inciting hatred. We're trying to ban an emotion. How do we call that freedom? But it's not just Australia. It's not just Scotland. I can go down the line. Canada now arrests Christian preachers for preaching the Bible on the street. The Bible is hate speech. It's anti-LGBT. It's anti 2SLLGBTQIA+. I think that's the latest one.
Yeah, I can only do pi to the 15th digit, so I can't do the new LGBTQ. I can't keep up with both. I'm going to stick with knowing pi.
Well, when I saw they put the digit 2 in there, I had to learn that. I'm like, 2SL. I found out that means two spirit. I don't know what 2SL means, though, but whatever. They put through a plus on the end now because they come out with something every 6 or 7 hours. I don't know how Christianity went from being the foundational philosophy of Western civilization since it rose to prominence in the Roman Empire to being a criminal act to read from the holy book out in public at this point. But it gets worse from there as far as they go in Canada. Their law states, quote, everyone who by communicating statements other than in private conversation, see in the privacy of your own home, that's okay, willfully promotes hatred against any identifiable group is guilty of an indictable offense and is liable to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 2 years. 2 years in prison, possibly, for hurting somebody's feelings and getting labeled hate speech. Now, we're going to come around eventually to which groups cannot have their feelings hurt versus which groups can have their feelings hurt. Obviously, we are among those who can have our feelings hurt. Maybe that's why we're so jaded, right? We're used to it. Germany, not to be left out. Germany's got laws against online hate speech. It's not just speaking. Social media. They've got laws against hate speech, insults, and misinformation. Now it's not even hurting people's feelings. It's saying stuff outside the party line. You know, misinformation like, I think that virus came from a lab. Misinformation like, I'm not so sure these vaccines actually work. Misinformation like, ivermectin has got antiviral properties. That was all deemed misinformation in the United States. Imagine if we had that law. And in typical German, go ahead and be offended if you're part German. In the history of Germans' infamy, German police have been known to raid people's homes and confiscate their computers to gather evidence to convict them of posting hatred and misinformation online. And this all started back when they decided it was okay to ban the Nazi Party. Now, I don't understand after what happened in World War II why anyone in their right mind would want to be a Nazi after that. And because they were so universally hated by Germans, it became easy to pass a law with no First Amendment protecting political parties to ban the Nazi Party in Germany. It makes common sense, but at that point, people allowed their principle of freedom of speech to be abridged because the Nazis were so vilified, and rightfully so. Now, this is outgrowth of that. It to combat far-right speech. It's not just enough to ban the Nazis. It's to ban the thought process of anybody who might identify with what their basis was at that point. And we can get into later at some other time about how they're actually national socialists who would push for universal health care, and they had some very left-wing policies, but generally they're known as a right-wing dictatorship. But Germany accepted that decades ago, that it was okay to ban a political party, and it's just grown from there. Once the camel gets its nose in the tent. We've heard that one before. The United Kingdom, another so-called democracy, or liberal democracy of freedom, has buffer zones, public buffer zones against free speech. They now arrest people for silent prayer or being suspected of committing silent prayer within a certain distance of an abortion clinic. To stand quietly on a sidewalk within a block of an abortion clinic can get you put in handcuffs in the free liberal democracy of the UK right now. How do we get to this point? Now, people could say, well, you know, America, we've got the First Amendment. We've got freedom of speech here. They don't have that there. They don't have constitutions that say that. Another subject would be the fact they also don't have a Second Amendment, which is, that's really why they don't have free speech there. I mean, even Russia has in their laws the right to free speech, but come on, we know how Russia runs. Let's take it back to the United States, or the parts of America that are still America in name only. The places that I've called out as being fallen police states that are really, if people from Wyoming spent some time there, you would not recognize this as the United States. The state of New York. Here is from one of their own publications. A bias incident is any offense or unlawful act that is motivated in whole or substantial part by a person's, a group's, or a place's identification with a particular race, color, religion, ethnicity, gender, age, disability, ancestry, national origin, or sexual orientation, including gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, as determined by, and get this, the commanding officer of the hate crime task force. They have a hate crime task force in New York. See, if you hit somebody in the head with a baseball bat, it's not as bad of a crime if that person happens to be the same color as you. But for some reason, if you hit somebody of a different race, suddenly it's worse to hit somebody in the head. Or if you decide to beat somebody up because he's a Giants fan and not a Jets fan, that's not as bad as if you beat him up because he's a different religion. That's the inanity of a hate crime law. That is the problem with thought police. It should be wrong to hit somebody in the head with a baseball bat, period. Regardless of the race, religion, color, or sexual orientation, we just make it illegal to assault and batter somebody with an aluminum bat or a wooden one. But we now add on extra penalties if you violated a thought crime. But then they go on, just like Scotland. This is the United States now. New York, one of the first states in the country. Gaslighting 101 in the state of New York. Quote, freedom of speech is protected by our Constitution. Anyone has the right to express their likes, dislikes, and opinions, no matter how offensive it may be to others. This freedom of expression, however, can cause some confusion as to where free speech ends and hate crime begins. Although the line may appear to be blurred, ultimately, offensive or hateful speech is still just speech and is protected. However, a hate crime is a criminal act that is motivated in whole or substantial part by the perceived identity of the victim. For example, a person who calls another person an insulting name. It is just a name, and it is not a crime. Although you may feel that the name is hateful and offensive, it is considered freedom of speech. However, if someone calls a person a hateful name because of their race alone and then assaults them, now it's a hate crime. We don't have freedom of speech. We don't have freedom of speech in New York anymore. And I can go on further with this, but I see like coming up in your seat here, and I know you've got something to say.
There's just so many components to this. And of course, I'm going to point to some Orwellian features. This has got 1984 all over it. But I want to point to another one of the fine writings of George Orwell, Animal Farm. when the animals decide to make their own rules, and the rules kept changing, even though this is our constitution, this is what we believe, all animals are equal. And towards the end is all animals are equal, but the pigs are more equal. It's ridiculous to me to think that we have a founding document that recognizes the right to pursue happiness, and people assume that happiness is supposed to be automatic and given to them. No, that's why you have the right to pursue it, because every American has the right to be miserable all the time. And if you don't want to deal with somebody, you don't want to deal with what somebody is saying, the First Amendment doesn't give you that protection to shut them up, but it also doesn't give them the right or the automatic audience, pulpit, support. You have some responsibility in these liberties. And we get into this with a lot of things. We talked about the convention and some of the things that came up in the bylaws. And everybody wants this magic wand that says, this is it, this is the be all end all, and it's automatic. And yeah, just wave the wand and this is the rule, this is the law, this is liberty. And I have to do it and you have to do it and it's supposed to benefit me. No. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, our bylaws in the Republican Party, it's a toolbox. You have to be able to utilize those tools and different tools within that toolbox and put some personal effort into that and realize you may not always get the answer or the product you want at the end of your project. And this is where I see the fact that there's even a hate crime task force is ridiculous to me, because like you said, and I've said it for years, if I'm in a bar and some guy gets in my face and we get into a scrap and he just happens to be a homosexual, it doesn't have to be about the homosexuality. It just, like you said, perceived identity or actual identity that was unknown. I'm catching extra charges. And even if I am the victim of assault and only defending myself, I'm probably going to be charged with the crime of assault and, you know, looked at worse because of the personal lifestyle of this individual. That's not the way it works. And I'll take it a step further, maybe even to a place that you even wouldn't be comfortable with. The fact that we have certain laws about domestic violence and strangulation or assault or striking of a household member, the act of violence itself is the crime. And I'm not going to say, we shouldn't protect women who are living with abusive men. That's a whole subject I'm not going to get into today. But you got to think about it. Who are you most likely to smack upside the head or slam against the wall and choke? Somebody you just met on the street who irked you for a moment, or a person you're seeing all day, every day in your living space? By choice, of course, you know, you choose to live with these people. But the fact that we think that we're going to magically fix these problems by assigning extra titles, extra regulations, extra protections for certain individuals, when the truth is, it's the violence that is the crime. And if laws and definitions of laws actually stopped crime, we've talked about this before, we wouldn't have murder, but we know that they don't. They may be a deterrent, but they are not the magic wand that stops any of this stuff. So what I really see is there's a whole lot of personal responsibility that is again being ceded to the government and apparently governments around the world to say, I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to have a backbone. I don't want to have to live in a world where I'm not seen as great as I think I am every day when I look in the mirror. So put on your brown shirts and get your goose stepping going and stop these people from exercising their liberties. That's not the real world. That is where we create the softest of humanity. And we're not really dealing with very hard times when it comes to, you know, people's feelings. You know, was it the hard times create soft men, or hard men and hard men create soft times, or whatever that saying is? We're not there in, you know, the personal responsibility and how people deal with stuff. We have gotten to the point where we are so weak and entitled, it doesn't even get soft. It's automatically assumed the government's going to fix it, the government's going to save us, and anybody that disagrees with me should actually lose their liberty by going to jail, or, you know, even to some points, lose their life, when we got other real problems going on in this country and around the world. And it doesn't have to do with mean words that,
you know, the mouth sounds coming out of Joey made my insides hurt.
Well, you know, suck it up, drive on. I don't get it.
I feel unsafe. I feel unsafe. That's what I hear now.
Yeah. And you have the absolute right to feel unsafe and to learn to toughen up and deal with situations, and especially in America, get trained and arm yourself. You know, whatever happened to sticks and stones will break my bones, but that was the standard when I was a kid. You know, try not to go out of your way to treat someone like crap. I think my mother always said, if you've got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all, which is odd because I now have a radio show and I don't follow that rule. But we used to have hey, you know, life is hard. Suck it up. Get a helmet. It's harder if you're weak and stupid. So I don't know where all this support is coming from.
Drunk and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Good old Animal House. Not Animal Farm, but both good references. And I think we need to really step back and take a look at, I don't know how it is in these other countries, but in America, you know, there's a reason I started my statement with, we have the right to pursue happiness for a reason. It was put in that document because it's not assumed to be automatic. Nobody was expected to feel good all the time. This is why we have drug problems and mental health problems. This expectation that everything is supposed to be just coasting at 72 degrees and sunny all the time. Well, you know, you don't appreciate or pursue your happiness as vigorously if you haven't experienced the fact that life is hard. If everything's always been just taupe and taken care of for you, then you have no motivation to embrace that personal responsibility. And I see it as it's a big danger. We have a whole generation of kids right now that have grown up in this that are now having kids themselves. And I call it right now for America, it's the demasculization of America. And I'm going to start doing a series called Remasculate America now in a couple of months. But yeah, we have to get away from our feelers and realize it's okay to be sad sometimes. It's okay to be hurt sometimes. I've got feelings. I don't show them a lot. There's some things that make me emotional and down, and I think on them. And, you know, I don't stuff them and ignore them. I process them, and I don't lay it on society as, you know, this kind of thing I just don't like, and it triggers me, so you have to be responsible for my lack of emotional maturity and, you know, personal responsibility when it comes to liberty. And that's what it comes down to. I am too emotionally weak and immature to handle the reality of life, so now you must do it for me. Nope, that's not my job. That's definitely not the government's job.
And when people don't understand sometimes, and this is more common on the left, but I'm coming to the fact that I'm seeing this on the right now too, is there is no right to feel safe. There is no right to be happy. Newt Gingrich said a long time ago, we have the right to pursue happiness. We don't have the right to be happy. There's no Department of Happiness or happiness stamps that the government hands out to support your right to be happy. And there's no right to feel safe. There are people with all sorts of mental issues that don't feel safe leaving their home. They don't feel safe on an airplane, and they can't petition the government for their right to feel safe. And speech, the actual right to free speech, which is in the Constitution, which is a basic natural God-given right, the right to express our God-given thoughts and brains, that is an actual constitutional right, is threatened by people's perceived right to feel safe, their perceived right not to have their feelings hurt. And we see this cowardice come across in stifling freedom of speech. And it's often under what they call safety concerns, because again, I say it's, you know, feeling safe is more important than actually being safe. Thus, you know, people who don't want to ban gun-free zones, because the feeling safe is more important than actually being safe. But I look back at, and this has happened so many times, I wrote down just a couple of them. Like back in 2016, California State canceled an appearance for Ben Shapiro, citing safety concerns. 2017, you're gonna see a theme here with the state. University of California cancels an engagement with Ann Coulter due to threats and safety concerns. 2019, Ben Shapiro again, he's canceled at Grand Canyon University. because of safety concerns. 2020, Michelle Malkin in Portland. Turning Point, Stephen Davis at the University of California in 2022. 2023, not a national figure, but it hits home. Todd Schmitz kicked off the University of Wyoming's campus for violating some speech code. He was the guy who went out there and just said Artemis Langford is male and shouldn't be in a sorority. He got kicked off the campus for that.
Yeah, he got hemmed up for pointing out the truth.
Yes, but he violated somebody's right to feel safe and be happy.
Which
even though neither right exists.
They found later in court that he actually didn't. The university went to the feeler patrol before they went to the book of rules, regulations, and rights. And the court said, no, he's got the right to do there, and you will let him back in.
Right. And they did settle, and they did have to pay his legal fees. And he did go back on campus, and they did reserve their right. If he violates our don't hurt our feelings policy, we'll get rid of him again. But this brings me up to 2024. And this is where I get concerned about people on the right sometimes. USC student Asna Tabassum, I think is her name. She is USC's valedictorian, who I will laugh at this, minored in something called resistance to genocide while she promotes the Palestinian cause to commit genocide against the Jews. But nonetheless, she was their proclaimed valedictorian, and in typical fashion, she was supposed to give a speech. But some people complained, some people on the right complained, that she had been on Instagram saying things like the apartheid state of Israel should be abolished, that Palestine should be free from the river to the sea. You know, the typical genocidal statements of the Palestinian movement. It was par for course for somebody who supports that, just like we're seeing at all the college campuses right now. They canceled her valedictorian speech due to safety concerns. That cowardice right there. I probably wouldn't agree with a damn thing this woman said, but I will defend to the death her right to stand up there and make an ass of herself after winning valedictorian, to stand up there and pontificate about whatever. But this is what concerns me, Joey. When I talked about this on Facebook, and this is part of the reason I said I've had enough of Facebook, because people I don't even know start making comments on my posts, start sending me messages, and these are people on the right who start complaining, and I've heard this language before, that this woman made hateful comments about Jews, and she has no right to incite that hatred out in public, and they darn well shouldn't let her speak because she says such terrible anti-Semitic things. Well, there you go. We've got people on the right have jumped on the let's ban it if our feelings get hurt or we feel unsafe. Yeah. This woman, a college student in California, is not going to incite any more hatred against the Jews in her entire lifetime than Iran will in 15 minutes. She's not going to create any more damage. And my guess would be if she actually got to give a speech, she might have mentioned some reference, some point to the Palestinian struggles against the apartheid state. Fine. But what concerned me, my man, is how many people on the right said, good, they canceled her. What say you?
I say, be cheeky, be clever, declare her the invalidictorian, and let her speak. We're not talking about ideas here. We're talking about liberties. And I don't know how many times I've said it. I don't know how many times I'll say it again the rest of my life. But in America, you have the absolute right to be absolutely wrong. And I have the absolute right to disagree with you or ignore you. David Iverson would kick my butt if I didn't mention at this point, the only right the First Amendment truly gives you is the right to be offended and miserable. It's actually a restriction on Congress. The first five words of the First Amendment: Congress shall make no law. It has nothing to do with retributive action or comparative, I don't know, disenfranchisement of individuals. Everybody, whether you think they're right, whether you think they're wrong, whether they're supported largely as right or wrong, it is protected speech. And you have to be willing to live in a world where things that you don't like are going to happen and are allowed to happen. There's no recourse there. Go home, have a stiff drink, get a hobby, distract yourself. I don't know, spend some time paying attention to your kids. If you don't like it, you don't have to be part of it. I get people's argument, well, my tax dollars go to pay for it. Hey, yeah, me too. But what I don't want to do, and this is another thing that I'm seeing more regularly from the right, is to go to the point where we're no longer applying fundamental principles equally across all situations in our bylaws, in our actions, and we're turning into straight punitive, retributive, you know, you did this, so now we're going to do this. We have the upper hand now. You know, that the tables turned in the conservatives' favor in Wyoming recently, but we only got there because the tables turned. They can turn back. You do not want to be part of the group that says, well, here's the way to kick all the people we don't like out of the party and then start losing positions where they turn that on you. If it is a legitimate, liberty-minded principle that can be equally applied to all situations, then you're probably good, because sometimes you lose. And when you lose, you don't want to lose everything. So we've got to stop this idea of what is going on right now is always going to be going on. Who's running things right now are always going to be running things, and get into a posture of sometimes I'm going to lose. Sometimes it's not going to be fun. Sometimes it's going to hurt my feelings, or I don't want to hear it, or I just think it's ignorant and shut down. Okay, fine. You're allowed to do that. But what you're not allowed to do, and what I wouldn't support anybody doing, is saying, no, you can't have that. You can't hear that. You can't say that. You can't think that. Because that gets into a place where now everything is done with a modicum of fear of retribution, which if the Republicans actually believed in their own state platform, they'd read in their freedom of speech plank, do all these things without the fear of retaliation. You're allowed to be pissed off. You're allowed to be miserable. The First Amendment, that's the only right it gives you, in the right to be offended. So I wouldn't say, I remember they brought, Bill Ayers or something to the University of Wyoming. And, you know, I wish that they wouldn't. I didn't like the reasons that they did, but I absolutely defended, hey, if you're going to bring Bill Ayers, okay, we're going to bring, you know, Ben Shapiro. We're going to bring, you know, any of our speakers, because it should be equal in that liberty-minded sense. And I knew I had something else that I wanted to throw in on there, but it'll probably come up later. I don't know. This kind of gets my pumps up my teat a little when it's like, I have to defend people I disagree with because, well, it's not them I'm fighting for. It's the concept. I am ready to shed blood on that tree of liberty, even for the people. Oh, that's what I was going to say. It turns my stomach. It pisses me off to no end when I see people disrespecting the flag, throwing it on the ground, setting it on fire. But I absolutely defend their right to do it. And I know I'm going to catch a lot of hell for saying that. But that is a freedom of expression that I absolutely disagree with, but would not want to live in a country where you couldn't do that. Because what's next? What's the next thing you can't do because society or the government says there's going to be consequences? Now, there's already consequences. You walk into try that in a small town. You walk into Saratoga, Wyoming, go stand in the middle of Main and Bridge Street and set a flag on fire. You're probably going to be a witness in your own criminal assault case. Someone's going to come and beat you. That's a personal responsibility. But I always want to live in a place where people have the absolute right to be absolute wrong and do some kind of grotesque things that do not actually infringe on the liberties of others. They're disgusting. They're unpalatable, but it's not infringing on your liberties. It's not just damaging your person, your property, any of that stuff. So you kind of got to live in the world of, let's foster an environment where people don't want to be like this, where people don't think like this, not through force. But, you know, let's make patriotism and pride and conservatism sexy again, so we don't have to worry about forcing people to shut up or go to jail for longer for, you know, saying or taking away the right to say things from other people. So that's where I'll step off.
Well, burning American flags, people who want to march in public with swastikas, I'm all for their right to do that. I am against either activity. But I want to know who the Nazis are. And if they want to fly swastikas, let them, so we know who they are. If people want to burn the American flag, let them, so we know who the assholes are. That's fine with me, especially if they bought it themselves. It's their property. Let them do what they want to it. The flag company's fine. They'll get to sell another one. But it's sometimes when you see people getting this banning idea of banning everything they don't like, then you start seeing the left twisting themselves up in the knots. And I don't want to see the right doing that. I mean, the people, like, you got people on the left. Well, I'm all for burning the American flag, except it reduces increases carbon emissions. So we shouldn't really burn anything. So we should ban burning flags based on the fact that it's make climate change. I can't take any of that crap. But this is the ultimate point here. Whether I'm talking about Scotland or I'm talking about Germany or New York or the University of Wyoming, is that freedom of speech, freedom of thought is globally under assault. And the places in the world where you can freely speak your mind without, at the back of your mind, having that fear or intimidation that somebody will take your computer for typing the wrong thing, that somebody will file a lawsuit or a hate crime law against you or whatever, it is quickly shrinking. And there are many places in the United States where you will not feel safe to speak your mind because you will have that government hanging over you. You can be charged with a crime in New York if there's a guy yelling at you, it's ma'am, and you say, you're clearly a dude. You can get in trouble with that legally now in New York. Not the man in the dress screaming at you saying he's going to kick your ass will get in trouble. It's your fault for inciting hatred. That's the only reason he felt the need to. She felt the need to defend herself at that point. And the ultimate point is, we are at a time in history where it is up to the right to protect free speech. The left has already given up on it. Leftist extremism is already acceptable. Climate change hysteria, radical sex change ideology for kids, anti-Jewish rhetoric that would make the SS proud, blatant racism against white people, sexism against men, religious persecution of Christians. It's all allowable under what the left considers free speech, but not the right. And when the right adopts the language of the left, that that girl in California is hateful against Jews, she shouldn't be allowed to talk, we've lost. We've adopted their language. We've adopted their paradigm of the world. It's the same reason why when there are radical protests, we can't call them insurrections, because then we adopt the language that protesting the government is an insurrection. We can't adopt the language of the left and expect to beat them in the arena of ideas if we're using their definitions. So free speech includes hate speech. It includes speech that you hate. The Supreme Court has twice ruled that hate speech is free speech, but the states will not be deterred by that illegitimate Supreme Court as they try to undermine that institution in the United States too. So to my friends on the right, stand up for your goofy friends on the left, no matter how crazy their ideas. Don't buy into this idea that the way to win the battle of ideas is to shut the other side up. In fact, the more you hear the left speak, the more ridiculous they sound. That's why they so badly want to censor us, because in the battle of ideas, they consistently lose. When it comes down to actual equality, actual freedom of speech, actual freedom of religion. Some people have been upset about USC because they talk about the freedom of religion for a Muslim student to get censored like that. It's laughable. Islamic theocracy is probably the most repressive ideology and practice on earth right now. I mean, gays have more rights in North Korea than they do in Iran. So the idea Asna Tabassum, I think is her name. The idea that her right to free speech is being unfairly abridged, that's a fair argument. And people on the right who hate everything she stands for, who fear radical Islam theology spreading out the world, who stand up against anti-Semitism and this movement to eradicate every Jew on earth, disguised as freeing Palestine, who hate the idea of allowing somebody who's probably a communist too, because that goes right in line with this, from spreading her crazy ideas out there. Please stand up for somebody like that to go ahead and say whatever she thinks. Some people at this point might say, well, would you be okay with a Nazi giving a speech in public? Yes. I might not be okay with what he or she said. No, I definitely wouldn't be okay with what he or she said. I'm not a fan of Nazis. I'm not a fan of fascists or communists or any totalitarian type. The idea, though, that, oh, they've got horrific ideas, so nobody should hear them. Yes, everybody should hear them. Everybody should hear things about communism and critical race theory and fascism and Nazism. So when these shit ideas come up again, you can recognize them for what they are because you've heard them before. So please, my friends on the right, stop trying to censor goofs on the left using their language, especially this whole idea of safety concerns.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there. I want to clarify a couple things. One, what we're talking about is speech, not agreement. And I give an example. I don't mind having an argument. And I'm not saying that because you have the freedom of speech that I won't argue with you. But what I don't want to see it turning into is a government-forced monologue as opposed to an argument. You can only have one side because of the content of the other side. Nope. I'd prefer to have an argument. So I'm also not talking about civility. I'm not going to make you feel good while I'm protecting your freedom of speech in a debate or an argument with me. You better have a toolbox and a backbone. It's going to get rough. But your right to choose to be there and engage should not be a question whatsoever. And I wanted to make that point because Governor Gordon put out a great commercial the other day, I guess. Some people think it's great, where he said, we can learn to disagree better. Well, you know what? I disagree, and I'm not going to be nice about it. But I'm not talking about civility. I'm talking about the basic right, and it's up to the people. Hey, what do you want to hear? Do you want an echo chamber of monologues, or do you want to see actual robust debate, even if it's unpalatable or uncivil? And so I'll leave that one there. But also earlier said, I want to know who the Nazis are. I want to know who the assholes burning the flags are. And I agree. I want to know too, but not because I want to keep lists or I want to find a way to hijack them with, you know, I don't know, what do you call it? Doxing or sneak up on them and commit violence against them. I want to know who to avoid and not invest in. It will get to a certain point where I still support your freedom of speech, but man, I do not have to be in your audience. I don't have to waste any of my time or energy even recognizing that you're there. You're allowed to do it. Go do it. I want to know who you are on certain things so I can just avoid the time, energy, brain power investment of even recognizing that you're doing what you're doing once your speech is secured. So I wanted to make sure I was clarifying that. I think we could probably talk about this for a couple of, you know, two or three shows worth of content, but we're getting down into the last couple minutes. So why don't you do your wrap up and we will send it on back over to the people here.
Well, just to follow up on what you said, yeah, just because I fully support the right of radical communists and crazy Nazis to publicly say what they wish to say doesn't mean I would quietly sit by and not absolutely eviscerate their inane and crazy ideas. And that is the best way to take down bad ideas, is to expose them for the crap that they are versus trying to shut the people up who say them. If anything, when people are censored, that's usually an indication that the people trying to censor them have no valid argument to counter their ideas. So if you're out there being censored like me on Facebook, congratulations, but I'm done with it anyway. That's it. That's all I got for tonight, Joey.
Giving up the FB, something I totally would do, but I learned a long time ago, it's a handy tool. I use it mostly for business. I just stop responding to people. Exactly what I said during the show. I don't comment very often at all, and I don't respond. I don't block everybody, but, you know, at a certain point, I have to decide where my investment is, so I'm going to stay on Facebook. for just a little while longer, but I understand your exodus from that platform. And also, if you happen to be heading towards a rally or driving away from one because you just can't stand what they're saying, but you respect their right to stand out there and say it, and you happen to make that wide right turn, head in the other direction, see me and Tom on the side of the road, pull over, say hey, and remember, we're not from the government, but we are here to help.
If you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when they lie to all of us, it's called being a politician. You think taking guns away will save our kids from the killings? But you're pro-choice, abortion kills way more children. If America's so terrible and racist, it probably isn't safe to encourage immigration. Just saying, all the contradictions are embarrassing. You know who hates America the most? Americans. Trigger warnings used to be on TV for seizures, and now they're everywhere to protect millennials' feelings. He, she, his, him, hers, them, they. Screw a pronoun, cause everyone's a retard these days. I hear him preaching at the protest that hatred's the problem, but hating straight men, white folks, and Christians is common. Coca-Cola telling people they should be less white. They preach intolerance, but if you disagree, they fight. There's a race war here, elections based on fear. Black lives only matter once every 4 years. Soldiers died for this country, and every one of us benefits. Give welfare to the bums and forget about the veterans. Black folks and white folks divided by the news, but we are all the same. We are red, white, and blue. Ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Cause honestly, we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no. The forecast said that there'd be snowflakes. Whoa. You can't make us see it your way. No way. Gasoline and propane. More flames. Snowflake.
They set us up to fail, that's what they built the system for. Put an ammunition shop across the street from a liquor store. Empowering women used to be different than this before. The role models got OnlyFans or dance on a stripper pole. Screw it, I ain't tripping, I don't mean to be mean. But if our children are the future, then our future is bleak. They take an Adderall to focus, hit McDonald's to eat. They're addicted to phones and they take Xanax to sleep. They blurred the lines dividing communism and democracy. In 2021, we paint the patriots as Nazis. The men playing women's sports get trophies for winning. Like, great, let's celebrate a man for beating some women. If you're black, your life matters, you're supposed to embrace it. If you're rich or you're smart, then you're probably Asian. If you're gay, then you're brave, all of that I'm okay with. But if you're white, the stereotype is you are a racist. Blaming capitalism like that's the reason things are tough. While you tweet from an iPhone and sip on a Starbucks. You're supporting what you stand against, you don't think you are. But a Percocet addict don't donate money to pharma. Damn, dog, we're all afraid to speak the truth. And the more afraid we get, the more we hate the ones who do. You're ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Cause honestly, we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake, oh no. The forecast said that there'd be snowflakes. Whoa, you can't make us see it your way. No way. Gasoline and propane. More flames. Snowflakes.
We can all get along, but there's no stopping. Everybody's wrong, that's the real problem. They don't want to hear it, but they still talking. Soon enough, we running out of options. This ain't gonna end till it's in the coffin. We ain't gonna be friends till we try to squash it. I don't know how we can make amends or we drop it. Snowflakes melt when it's hot, kid.
Y'all are so fake, oh no. The forecast said that there'd be snowflakes. Whoa. You can't make us see it your way, no way. Gasoline and propane, more flames. Oh no, no more snowflakes.